May we help to commence our worship of God this morning, singing together hymn number 64. Hymn number 64, June Melchizedek, 483. Sovereign ruler of the skies, ever gracious, ever wise, all my times are in thy hand, all events of thy command. He that formed me in the womb, he shall guide me to the tomb. All my times shall ever be ordered by his wise decree. Hymn number 64, to Melchizedek, 483.
Amen. According to Mark chapter 4. The Gospel according to Mark chapter 4. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken! Behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched, because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Another fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. And he said, So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And may God bless to us that reading from his holy word, and may he teach us each how to pray. Kind and gracious and most merciful Lord God in heaven, we do thank thee for gathering us together around thy word this Lord's Day morning. And we pray, Lord, thy gracious help and thy presence here as we meet for worship. Oh Lord, we pray that thou wilt grant us that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that he may come and take of the things of Jesus and reveal them unto us. There may be the power of the Holy Spirit attending the word that is read and preached, that it may be a word made powerful, a word that is applied by the power of the Holy Spirit, a word which brings forth fruit to thy honour and thy glory. Well, we would, Lord, be fruitful hearers. Lord, we confess that, Lord, our sins, our failings, our many shortcomings, Lord, the sinfulness of our hearts, the wanderings of our minds, Lord, what need we have of thy gracious help? Lord, if we are ever to hear to the profit of our souls, it must be because of thee. Lord, we pray then that thou look upon us in compassion and send us that help that we need. Lord, that thy word may enter in. Lord, that thou break down any barrier, anything that hinders, and that thy word may be forced into our hearts. Lord, make us receptive. Lord, make our hearts soft. May there have been that preparation of our hearts before this Lord's Day. Oh Lord, even now as we gather for worship, that there may be, Lord, that good ground within our hearts that receives the word, and Lord, it may bring forth fruit in due season. Lord, thou knowest what must be done. Thou knowest, Lord, what needs there are. Thou knowest how we've come. And Lord, thou knowest where we are on our journey. We pray, Lord, that thou grant us then that which we need. Supply us, Lord, we pray. Satisfy thy poor with bread. Break that bread of life, we pray, in our midst this day. And feed our souls. And leave not our souls destitute. But grant us, Lord, that which we need for the days ahead. May we have Ruth's portion, Lord, something given to us, not deserved, not earned or merited in any way, but that which is given by the good hand of our God. And do, Lord, grant us those things to take home, to beat out, and to live on in the days to come. Lord, do remember this church and congregation. Lord, do be with each of them and bless them indeed. Lord, do knit their hearts together and bind them together, that they may be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord their God. Lord, we pray that thou grant them that help and supply every need, in providence and in grace. Lord, do watch over and guide and direct them in all the unknown way. Lord, may thy voice often be heard by them. Lord, do speak to them. Make known thyself to them. Reveal thyself, we pray. And presence thyself, Lord, in their midst, and take not thy Holy Spirit from them. Lord, do bless thy servant out from them labouring this day. We pray, follow with thy blessing his labours in thy name. Do strengthen his hand for the sowing. Do fill his seed basket with thy word. And Lord, do glorify thyself as he ministers the word of life. Do help his dear wife, as she seeks to help him in his serving thee. Bless them together and supply their every need. Remember each of thy servants. We commit them each into thy gracious hand. Lord, we pray that thy name might be honoured and glorified this Sabbath day, in the assembling of thy people together, in the worship that is offered up this day, those things that are rendered unto thee. Lord, we pray that thou, Lord, be pleased in the worship this day through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, we pray that the worship this day may ascend acceptably through him. Lord, we do pray then thy blessing upon the preaching of thy word, as the gospel is proclaimed in our day and generation to the four corners of the earth. Lord, we pray that there may be much done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Deliver us, Lord, from the power of sin and Satan. Remember the Church of God planted here, and Lord, that which is scattered throughout the whole earth. Lord, we pray that that thou bless the Church of God in our day and generation with godliness, with grace, with living faith in exercise. Lord, we pray that thou art establish thy people and strengthen and settle them in the things of God, and build up the Church of God in its most holy faith and in its numbers. We pray that there may be the additions here added to the church from the congregation. And Lord, we pray that thou be pleased to pour out thy blessing in this town and surrounding area, and gather into this house of prayer such as should be saved by thy grace. May there be that hungering and thirsting after righteousness in the day we live in, that desire, Lord, to know the truth as it is in Jesus. We pray, Lord, that in a day and generation where there is a perverting of the truth, and that questioning what is truth, may there be that answer in thy word. May there be many seeking to know the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, may thy word have free course and be glorified. May it accomplish, Lord, that which thou dost please, and prosper in the thing whereto thou dost send it. O Lord, may it be the words of life for us each. May it not be death unto death, but may it be everlasting life for us. Lord, we pray that we may hear and hear to the profit of our souls. So help us, Lord, we pray, in our worship here. And help each of the friends in their daily lives. Lord, thou knowest what they are passing through. And thou knowest, Lord, those that have their concerns, and those that have their cares, and those with anxieties, those, Lord, that maybe cannot understand the way that they are walking, or the way they feel that they are being led. We pray, Lord, that thou grant that their eyes might ever be up unto thee. Lord, we pray that thou teach us to walk by faith and not by sight. And Lord, we pray that we may prove what thy word declares, that all things work together for good to them that love God to them that are the called according to his purpose. And Lord, some are called to walk perplexing paths, and some are called to walk a thorny way. But Lord, that path which leads to eternal life, Lord, it is that right way. All other ways lead to hell. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou put us on that right path and keep us on that right way, and leave us not to wander off it or to seek what might seem an easier way. But Lord, grant us that we may be among those that begin and continue steadfast unto the end. Lord, may we be blessed with that gift of living faith. And Lord, oh, may we be blessed with thy gracious hand upon us, holding us up, that our feet slip not. Deliver us from the power of sin and Satan. Lord, we pray for any who may feel in temptation's pathway. We pray for any who may feel the temptations of Satan in whatever way they may appear. Pray, Lord, that thou be that wall of fire round about, and the glory in the midst. And as those arrows come in thick and fast, oh, we pray that thou lift up that standard, that banner, and may, Lord, we have that shield of faith. Lord, we pray, deliver us in the hour of temptation, and keep us by thy grace. Keep us close to thee. Lord, may we ever desire that closer walk with thee. Lord, may we not be following at a distance, but grant us, Lord, that we may be made nigh, brought near, made nigh by the blood of Christ. Cause us to approach, cause us to call upon thee. Lord, do work in us to will and to do of thy good pleasure, and save us each from our sins. And save us with that everlasting salvation. Lord, who remember us in our nation. Lord, who help and bless our King, those in the royal household, those in government, in positions of authority. Lord, do pour out thy blessing and a spirit of true wisdom to those that have positions of influence and authority. Lord, grant us that our leaders may be used of thee for thy honour and glory and for the good of thy people in this nation. Turn us again, Lord, we pray, to establish, Lord, right laws again in this land, and remove those that are contrary to thy holy law. Lord, we pray that thou wilt turn the tide of sin and iniquity, Lord, that those rolling waves of sin that seem to increase day by day, we pray that thou still the storm and bind back that flood from overflowing, and Lord, who arise for our help, and may it be thus far and no further. And Lord, may thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Remember this cause of truth. Remember each of the hills of Zion. Lord, do grant thy blessing. Prosper the preaching of the everlasting gospel. Build up the churches of the one church of God. The local churches, Lord, do gather in, we pray. And may we live to see a day of true spiritual prosperity. And do, Lord, overturn and frustrate the plans of Satan. Lord, we pray, help us. Oh Lord, do not leave us nor forsake us. Lord, do pour out a spirit of true confession of sin. Humble us under thy mighty hand. And Lord, do exalt us in due time. So help us, Lord, we pray. Grant that help to one laid aside in hospital. Do be with her, to bless her and restore her, Lord, and return her back here among the friends, we pray. Lord, we pray thy blessing upon our younger friends, to help them with the things that they face day by day, the temptations, the world around, Lord, the pressures there are to conform. We pray that there may be a true restoration. Lord, that thou wilt recover and restore and build up, we humbly pray. And oh, we pray, Lord, that our young friends may be born again of the Spirit of God, and that work of regeneration made known and evidenced in their souls. Then, Lord, brought out of darkness into the marvellous light and liberty of the gospel. Lord, do plant them in the church of God here, and build them up, Lord, we pray, that they may be pillars in the church, established in the truth as it is in Jesus. And Lord, do prosper them spiritually and supply their needs in providence also. So help us, Lord, we pray. Help us to walk according to thy ways. Put the fear of the Lord in each of our hearts, and may keep us humble at thy feet. May our eyes ever be up unto thee, from whence cometh our help. Lord, remember us then, we pray, and forgive us, Lord, all our sins, and the poverty of our prayer forgive, and the poverty of our worship, Lord, we pray, that thou wilt forgive and grant, we pray, that there may be those things that remain, those things that abide in our hearts. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. We ask all things for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
The notices for the opening week, Isle of God willing. Mr. Graham Cottenham is engaged to preach on Tuesday evening and also next Lord's Day afternoon, with the service to commence at 3 p.m. And the ordinance of the Lord's Supper will, God willing, be observed during that afternoon service. As helped, there will be a read address during the prayer meeting and a read sermon during the morning service. Thursday evening there will be a church prayer meeting commencing at 7:15. The collection and donations for the month amounted to £493.62 in the general fund and £20 in the benevolent fund. We thank the friends for their willing giving. Look to the Lord to supply all our needs. May we now be helped to continue our worship, singing together hymn number 70. Hymn 70. June in Memoriam 842. Thrice comfortable hope that calms my stormy breast. My Father's hand prepares the cup, and what he wills is best. My fearful heart, he reads, secures my soul from harms, while underneath his mercy spreads its everlasting arms. Hymn number 70, tune In Memoriam, 842.
Gospel according to Luke, chapter 8. And with the Lord's help this morning, I will speak to you from verse 22. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 8, verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. The Gospel according to Luke chapter 8, verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. I wonder if it struck you in our reading this morning that this followed that parable of the sower going forth to sow. We're told in the chapter we read in Mark chapter 4 that the same day when even was come, he said, Let us pass over unto the other side. And you know, dear friends, there is a precious order both in the Word of God and in the teaching and leading of the Lord in the lives of his people. And here we have this following on. There is the word spoken, and now we find the word is to be applied. This was what should have been a simple crossing, one which no doubt some of the disciples were familiar with, given what their previous occupations were. But this was for them a trial, a testing of their faith. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over the other side of the lake. As I say, a simple crossing. And yet, what things took place. The Lord Jesus was with them. This wasn't the occasion when he commanded them to go to the other side and went up to a mountain to pray after feeding the 5,000. This was a different time. And this time he is with them. But we find him in the ship with them asleep. And a storm arises. A storm came down, a storm of wind on the lake, and it whips up the water, and the waves come into the ship, and we're told it filled with water, and Luke says, and they were in jeopardy. And then we have the awakening. Master, Master, we perish. Or as Mark says, Master, carest thou not that we perish? How can you sleep when such danger is surrounding us? How is it that there seems to be no care, little care? How is it there's no concern? Master, carest thou not that we perish? Oh, but what is it?
Are they in jeopardy? Are they in trouble? The storm has arisen, that the waves are coming into the ship. But the Lord Jesus is with them. That the Lord is with them in it. He's there bodily, present, in the ship with them. Have they forgotten all that he has done so far in their little lives? Have they not learnt anything? Have they not understood? You know, it's easy, isn't it, for us to read these things and to judge them for the way that they respond. But I wonder about you and I. I wonder how we respond. I wonder how we would, if in this situation that they were found in, I wonder how we would have reacted, how we would have responded. I wonder if we would be any different or even worse. You know, it was a poor prayer, wasn't it? Master, carest thou not that we pray, that we perish? Oh, it was a poor prayer. It was a poor statement that was made. But the Lord was merciful and gracious, wasn't he? Oh, and he proved his loving care and compassion. And oh, what did he prove? What did he teach them in that time of trouble? Well, he arose and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." He performed a great miracle. He spoke the word and a great calm came. He commanded for the wind and the waves to be still. He displayed to them his mighty power, so much so that it was exclaimed, wasn't it, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? The Lord Jesus, the wisdom, the grace, his power, his mercy. It came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, "Let us go over unto the other side of the lake." It was his appointment. It was his direction. They were commanded of him. And, I wonder if that is where you are this morning. Who is it that has commanded you? Who is it that has prompted you? Who is it that has constrained you? He said unto them, "Let us go over unto the other side of the lake." Oh, that there was a command of the Lord. And when the Lord commands, dear friends, it is surely for us to obey. You know, again, it's we broaden it out this morning. May the Lord apply it to you and me. When the Lord sets before his people an open door, there's something in providence maybe that opens before you. Maybe you've been seeking the Lord's direction, the Lord's guiding, and the word then comes, let us go. Let us go. Oh, friends, may you seek that grace then to follow. May you seek that grace to be made willing to follow at his command. He said, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And how did they respond? And they launched forth. They launched forth. They went at his command. They went with him. He went with them. And so it is. Dear friends, the truth of the Word of God stands and will stand till time be no more. When he putteth forth his sheep, he goeth before them. Now you and I won't have his bodily presence. He will not come again bodily until time be no more. But his abiding presence by the Holy Spirit of God, it is promised for his people. When he putteth forth his sheep, he goeth before them. Oh, you know, Moses, he saw the necessity, the vital importance of the presence of the Lord. I wonder if you do. Oh, I wonder if you feel it absolutely essential this morning. Oh, I wonder if that's your desire, as it was with Moses, the man of God. If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Oh, that you feel it, you find it absolutely essential. The Lord has brought you to understand this, that his presence is vital. You can no longer, as it were, go alone. You must have him with you. It must be the Lord is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. It came to pass. He went into a ship with his disciples and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. It was that command to go, and that command was obeyed. And you know, dear friend, if the Lord has given you a word of command, that word of command will be tried. That word of command you will have to prove. That word, the Lord will have you to prove it. That there is a purpose concerning his commands. That the Lord is determined that his people will be taught and his people will be led. And they are led and taught of the Lord. And it is through these commands and the following of those commands and the walking out of those commands that the Lord is pleased to teach his people. Well, he did hear. There was something for them to know and to learn of themselves, and there was something for them to know and to learn of themselves. And they must learn something of themselves. And you and I must learn. We must learn something of ourselves. If we are to truly understand something of himself, something of ourselves must also be known. your religion and mine? Is it a religion of contrasts? If your religion is real, it will be. If you are to see something of the preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are to understand something of the glory of God, and something of yourself must also be known. And there must be, and there will be, if your religion is real, and mine is also, that different scene. When Zacchaeus received the Lord Jesus into his presence, into his house, today I must abide at thy house, and he received him willingly. But something was shown to him. When the Lord Jesus came near to him, when he spent time with Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus saw that contrast between himself and the Lord Jesus. And when that is known, when that is felt, and when it is seen, then there is that confession of sin on the part of the sinner. Well, here there was teaching of the disciples. Now, the Lord has spoken to them the parable of the sower. And there were various grounds that were used as illustrations in that parable. But there was only one good ground. And that good ground was the ground that received that seed. And the ground was good, and it bore fruit. And you know, dear friends, these things are vital. They were vital for the disciples. And you may read the Word of God, and you may think of them and say, well, how is it they didn't understand? The Lord Jesus is speaking to them one moment, and then the next moment, when they're put to the trial or the test, they seem to have learnt nothing. And you know, you may think, how can these things be? Well, friends, how can it be with you and I? How is it with you and I? Is it not oftentimes we are just like this? We hear something on the Lord's Day, or in the midweek service, or in the reading of the Word of God, and something is read, and something is spoken and heard by us, and then we go, and then sometimes immediately that the Lord puts that word to test, and where do we find ourselves? We're bewildered. We don't understand. We can't work things out. We can't understand what's going on. We completely lose sight of what we've heard, of what we've read. We seem to be bewildered and at a loss to understand the ground of our hearing, the ground of our heart. And the Lord, you see, he tried them. He tried them. I wonder how many had got into that ship and they hadn't given it a second thought. He says, go forth, we've gone forth. You know, the Lord will have us. He'll have us as a praying people. If you are one of his people, he'll cause you to call upon his holy name. He'll keep you and desire you to be kept at his feet. And it is in the following of him and in the following of his commands that we see something of ourselves and something of himself. You know, when he rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm, he turns and says, to them, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Why are you panicking? Why are you so anxious? Why are you so concerned? Why are you in such distress? Why are you charging me with not caring? Where is your faith? Have you any faith? Oh, what things are seen, aren't they? What things are proved to us? You know, my mind went to just a couple of lines of a hymn in thinking of the text this morning. And it's at hymn 232. Begone unbelief, my Saviour is near, and for my relief will surely appear. By prayer let me wrestle, and he will perform with Christ in the vessel. I smile at the storm. Do you? Do you? With Christ in your vessel, are you smiling at that storm? Or are you like the disciples, feeling to be in jeopardy, feeling that he doesn't care, feeling that it cannot be the right way? But he led them forth by the right way. So he's either not leading me, or he's made a mistake. Or is this the right way? And is my heart wrong? Am I not in that right spirit? Oh, how quick we can get our own spirit, can't we? Oh, but one minute we're content to hear the doctrine, the teaching of the Lord Jesus, and the next minute we're rising up in a spirit of almost questioning whether he cares of us. He can't care. He's permitted this thing to come. If he cared, he'd have stopped it. You know, the Lord Jesus said, let us go over unto the other side of the sea, of the lake. He knew all about the storm. He knew all that was to come. But there was a purpose. And you know, we launch our little vessel at the command of the Lord, maybe. And then something comes and what do we think? And how do we react? Oh, we wonder, don't we? And we question. And we begin to reason. But it's judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Oh, where is our faith? Oh, where is our trusting of him? Do you trust him? Do you believe his word? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that he loves his people without end? Or are you reasoning on the grounds of human reasoning? You know, they reasoned that he must be awake, not asleep. He must be awake. Oh, do we judge him by our own shortcomings and failings? Do we think that he's such a one as ourselves? Oh, friends, may we be rather found taking that exhortation in Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. You know, the Lord will have wholehearted following, wholehearted believers, wholly trusting him. If you cannot trust him for today, how can you trust him for tomorrow? And if you can't trust, if you can trust him, can't trust him for tomorrow, how can you trust him for that great day which is before each one of us? Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. You know, there's a divine preparation in the lives of the Lord's dear children. And the Lord is preparing them so that they might be ready when that day comes. And what day am I talking about? It is that greatest test of faith. It is that greatest day that will be known to man. And it is a day when we must leave everything here below. The day of our death. Or if we're alive at his second coming, the day of his coming. That day when time for you and I will be no more. And you know that the Lord in love and mercy, he prepares his children for it. They are a prepared people for a prepared place. And that place is entered through a set and prepared way. And for the majority, it will be the day of their death. And the Lord is very gracious in preparing them for that day. And I wonder, dear friends, if the Lord is preparing you and I for it. That day may not take us unawares. Now the day itself, that day, the time of it, the day of it may be a surprise, but the certainty of it coming will not be a surprise. And it won't take your soul by surprise. The Lord is preparing you for it. As he's guiding you through your life, and you're being brought into things whereby you experience something of your need, and where your need is satisfied. Something of maybe your own weakness, where your strength is to be found. The Lord is gracious in teaching. Now, we don't always like the way he teaches. His methods, the way he goes about his work. You know, it is often contrary to how we would reason. But it is, as we considered our prayer meeting, it is the right way. He leads them by the right way, not the wrong way. And his way is always right. It's a perfect way. And his work is perfect. And they launched forth. And you and I, oh, may you and I be blessed with that same spirit of launching forth. And though we may feel insufficient, and though we may feel to not know the way, and maybe we fear to launch forth, yet may we be made willing. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Well, they launched forth. They went in that boat and they launched forth. But it was with the Lord Jesus. It was with him. And so it is. It is the Lord taking his people by the hand and leading them safely on. My mind also went to Isaiah chapter 12. And in verse 2 we have this. Behold, God is my salvation. And then we have this, I will trust and not be afraid. I will trust and not be afraid. Maybe there are those things which cause you anxiety. How will it be? How will the Lord lead me? What is this open door that's been set before me? Why has the Lord opened it before me? Why have these things come into my life? Why is this path been opened up before me? I will trust and not be afraid. I will trust and not be afraid. As I say, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Oh, we reason. You know, we often have a preconceived idea of how the way will be. And sometimes it seems such a familiar thing for us that we don't even really think to pray. You know, they just got into this ship, what would seem to be a simple crossing across the other side of the lake, and the Lord is with them. What could possibly, not even questioning, not even considering. And then, the storm comes. The storm comes. Oh, you know, we can have a preconceived idea. We think we know what will be. We're following a pattern. Oh, life will work out like this. This is how it is. This was how yesterday went, so today will go the same. This is how my parents lived their lives. That's how mine will go. You know, there's this, our mind, our understanding of things. Friends, it's got to be laid aside. It's that trusting wholly in the Lord Himself to lead us and to guide us, to direct us, to supply us with that help that we need, that grace that is needed. You know, the Apostle Paul, he had to prove it, didn't he? That he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know, when the Lord is pleased to intervene in our lives, when maybe something comes in to disrupt, when the Lord brings something in the pathway that to us was unforeseen, and maybe we almost come to a stop and we find it almost like meeting a brick wall. We think we're in the wrong way. Oh, what then need we have the Lord to hold us fast? They launched forth. And you and I, in our launching forth, are we going in faith? You know, this was to them a test of faith. Oh, and what did they know? And what did they really believe? What did they know of the Lord Jesus? Did they really know how whose son he was? Did they really know that with heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer? Do they really know that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that they could ask or think? Did they really know that with God nothing should be called impossible? Did they really understand that nothing could stand between him and the performing of the things that he would do. His sovereign will, his power, his grace, his mercy, what do they know of it? Friends, if your faith is to be increased, so must your knowledge and your understanding of who God is. So must your understanding and knowledge of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And so must your understanding of what you are. Then we are in our right place. To be found emptied of any self-confidence, emptied of any of our own wisdom, to be found seeking that confidence, that wisdom, that strength from him, that he may increase in our estimation and in our need of him, and we may decrease in our own selves, in supporting ourselves, in sustaining ourselves. He must be the all and in all. If you and I are to pass from life, from this life into eternity, if you and I are to be found in heaven at last, Christ must be everything. Oh, we must be found low at his feet, emptied of self, and filled with him, conformed to the image of his dear Son, made in his likeness, to be found walking in his footsteps. Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. Well, the Lord commanded. And they reached the other side. And they reached it safely. And not one of them was lost. But oh, what were they taught? What did they lose? What did they gain? It'd be a wonderful thing if you, at the command of the Lord, launch forth, and in your launching forth, and in the arriving at that destination, you too are brought to exclaim and understand something of what they did. What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn number 307. Hymn 307 to the tune St. Godrick 556. And must it, Lord, be so? And must thy children bear such various kinds of woe and such soul perplexing fear? Are these the blessings we expect? Is this the lot of God's elect? How harsh soe'er the way, dear Saviour, still lead on, nor leave us till we say, Father, thy will be done. At most we do but taste a cup, for thou alone hast drunk it up. In 307, to tune St. Godrick 556.
And
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.